Good morning, everybody. So great to be with you. Good morning online. So great to have you joining us as well. And what a beautiful time of worship. Isn't it just such a joy and a privilege to worship Jesus and be in his presence? Isn't it so, so cool? I just love it. I'm super excited to be speaking to you guys this morning. And let me just pray for us and then we'll get going. Yeah, Father, we just thank you for your pursuit of us. Thank you that you're the great initiator, that you sent Jesus, you sent your precious son to take our place so that we can come home to you. Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice. We're so grateful for your sacrifice, your obedience to your Father. Holy Spirit, thank you for being amongst us. Thank you that you love to reveal the Father to us. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, this morning that you would be moving all around the room, just as was prayed for during the worship, that there would be revelation moments, that this wouldn't just be listening to more information, but Holy Spirit, you would just be dropping revelation. We need you, God. We all know that you're our Father, but there's a real difference to really know you experientially. And so, Father, come and meet with your church. Come and meet with your bride. Come and pour out your Spirit. We are looking to you. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Okay. Well, I'm actually going to be looking at the Father as part of our new series, which I think started a couple of weeks ago, called Jesus School of Servant Leadership. And we're looking at Jesus teaching an example of what leadership should look like in the kingdom. And we're going to look at different values through the next few weeks. I think there's a slide that will show you some of the values we're going to look at. I think a couple of weeks ago, Phil spoke about the fact that leadership in the kingdom should look like serving. And this morning, I'm focusing in on and touching on the fact that leadership in the kingdom looks like empowering. In the kingdom, leaders and all of us should look to be empowering and championing the people around us so they can be all that God's called them to be. And we see that with Jesus, don't we? You know, he empowered his disciples, he championed them. There was no limit or restriction on what the disciples could do. Jesus said, go and do the stuff you've seen me doing. And empowering doesn't mean there's not challenge, but whenever people were around Jesus, the disciples were all released and empowered, and that's what we should aspire to as leaders. We want the people around us to feel known and seen and championed and empowered so they can be everything God's called them to be. Wouldn't that be beautiful? See the life that gets released through that. But I want to focus on the Father, because I believe that Jesus was able to be that way because he knew his Father and because he knew who he was as a really dearly loved son. He knew his identity. And when we know the Father, the more we get to know God as our Father, not just as information. Because if I asked all of you, do you know God's your Father? You'd probably say, yeah, we know. But it's very different knowing through intellect compared to knowing him actually father you experientially and letting him father you. The more we go deeper on that journey of knowing who God is as our Father, and learning who he says we are as dearly loved sons and daughters, the more we will be able to release the people around us and be empowered, not just for us to be all that God's called us to be, but also empower the people around us. So we're going to look at God as our Father. And I want us to do that by looking at a couple of encounters in the Gospels of where Jesus connects with a couple of individuals. Because if you really want to get to know what the Father's like, all you need to do is look at Jesus. Jesus actually said of himself, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So the way that we get to know what the Father's like, what his heart is towards us, how he feels about us, what he thinks about us, how he treats us, we just need to look at Jesus. And so we're going to look at a couple of interactions that Jesus has with individuals and learn about the Father. And then, as Simon said, we're going to leave plenty of time just to let the Father come and meet with us and speak to us. So, you guys all happy? Fabulous. So, what's the first thing we can learn about the Father? It's this: the Father breaks shame to reveal identity. You know, I love the story in the Gospels where Jesus encounters the woman who has the issue of blood. I'm sure many of us will be familiar with this story, but this woman had been bleeding for 12 years. And she had gone to numerous doctors and spent all of her money trying to find a cure for her condition, but none of it had worked. And in actual fact, the scripture says that she had got worse. The bleeding that she suffered meant that she was unclean. She would have been considered. Go back again, just. Thanks, mate. You've jumped the gun, given the punchline. Brilliant, beautiful. She would have been considered unclean. And so she would have had to live outside of society. She would have been rejected, isolated, despised. That's what she would have been seen as. And think about the shame and the rejection that she would have carried having to live that way. As I was preparing this, I was actually thinking about the fact that this was going on for 12 years. That is a lot of life. I was thinking about my beautiful niece, Eva, who is 9 and a half. So that's all of her life up to this point, plus 2 and a half more years. And if I think about her living in a way where she's rejected, isolated, she can't ever experience physical affection or affirmation because anyone she touches is going to become unclean. Can you imagine the shame, the rejection, the pain, the brokenness that this precious woman was carrying? So much shame. What I love about her, though, is that she decides to take a huge risk because she hears that Jesus is near. And she decides to take a huge risk and enter into a crowd that she shouldn't have been in. It took so much courage. She shouldn't have been in that. I mean, imagine if people had seen her and recognized her. Maybe they did, and maybe they thought, oh, who is this? And maybe there was people rebuking her or whatever, we don't know. But she took this risk, and she finally gets to Jesus. She pushes through the crowd because she thinks, if I can just touch his garment, maybe I'll get healed. Maybe this is going to be the answer for me. And she makes it to Jesus, and we read in Luke chapter 8 that she came up behind Jesus, touched his robe, and immediately the bleeding stopped, and she was instantly healed. Can you imagine? 12 years in an instant, touched Jesus' robe, instantly healed. But then what happens is she defaults to her learned behavior of hiding, because she withdraws back into the crowd to go on her way. Just how she'd been used to living. But Jesus realizes that power has flowed out of him, and he stops. Even though he's on his way to stop a 12-year-old girl from dying, he pauses and asks the question, who's touched me? Who touched me? Because for Jesus, the physical healing wasn't the ultimate goal. He had much more healing for this precious woman. And so we read in Luke 8, verse 47, when the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of Jesus. The whole crowd heard her explain why she touched him and that she had been immediately healed. Daughter, he said to her, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. It's a beautiful encounter. This woman had a life-transforming encounter with Jesus. Not only was she healed physically, but she was healed in every other way as well, because the crowd would have heard, all of a sudden now, she is now clean. So the rejection falls off, the shame falls off. She's now restored into community in this moment, in this encounter with Jesus. And there's so much we can learn from this one encounter of this woman with Jesus about the Father and his heart towards us. And we can also learn stuff about us and how we sometimes approach the Father. Let me just pick out two things. First thing about us that we can learn from this woman is that shame makes us want to stay hidden. And it can feel very vulnerable to be really seen and really known. It says in the scripture I just read out, when the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of Jesus. This was a big deal. This was risky for this woman. It was risky for her to step out of the crowd and to be seen and to be known. She had to take a risk. She had to come out of hiding. And you know, there's lots of different reasons that we might live with or feel shame in our lives. So many different reasons. And this has been a huge journey that I've been on personally, of Jesus setting me free from feelings of shame sometimes I didn't even know I was carrying.
But there can be lots of different reasons for why you feel shame. It could be to do with long-term sickness. It could be to do with things we've said or done that we regret, and we wish we'd never done those things or said those things. Could be things that have been done to us or said to us, maybe in our past, maybe more recently, that have brought shame into our lives and into our hearts. Could be to do with struggles in our marriage. I think there can be a lot of shame around struggles in marriage, struggles with being single, shame around finances, job, parenting, kids. I mean, you name it, we could feel shame for all sorts of different things. And what shame tells us is that there's something fundamentally wrong with us. So shame tells us that something is wrong with you. You are the problem. You are the issue. And what shame wants to do is to cause you to hide. Shame wants to cause you to hide and keep silent and withdraw and keep hidden. And it's risky. It's risky to come out of the crowd and to be seen and to be fully known. But that is what the Father is longing for us. And actually, it's exactly what we need. We need to come out of hiding and to let the Father speak to us and to receive his truth over us. That is how we step into freedom. And that's what we can learn about the Father from this. He's the one who breaks the shame. You can't work your way out of shame by performing better. You need an encounter with the Father. And you need a face-to-face encounter with the Father. What I love about this story is that touching the back of Jesus' garment wasn't enough for this woman. She got healed by touching the back of his garment, but what she really needed was to see him face-to-face. What she really needed was to hear his words over her, to see his face, to know his truth, to hear him say over her, "Daughter, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." She needed to hear from him. And the truth is that all of us need a face-to-face encounter with the Father. We need to meet with him. We need to feel his presence. We need to know his smile. We need to hear his affirmation. We need to feel his affection. All of us need to know that. It's in that moment, in his presence, as he meets with us and speaks to us, that shame drops off us and we step into freedom and we become empowered to be who God's called us to be. In those moments, we really understand who he says we are. And several months ago now, just to share some of my experience of this, I was sitting with the Father, and I was reminded of a memory when I was a teenager, and something had happened that I felt very ashamed of. And I remember this particular memory. I was walking up the stairs in my house, and my mum came to the bottom of the stairs to start to talk to me about this particular thing. And rather than letting her talk to me or us talking it through, I felt so much shame that I just ran to my room. I ran away to my room, I shut the door, and never talked about it again. And I've lived with this sense of shame as a result of that situation for years and years and years. And I've had different conversations over the years and tried to just kind of... But in this moment, the Father was speaking to me, and he said to me, I was imagining myself on the stairs, and the Father said to me, "Wendy, I want you to stay on the stairs. I want you just to stay on the stairs. Don't run to your room." And I was picturing myself. I could see myself on my stairs, and everything in me was like, "I don't want to stay on the stairs. I want to run away to my room." But the Father said to me, "I want you to stay on the stairs." And so I just pictured myself waiting, feeling all the shame. And then in that moment, in that place of my deepest place of feeling the shame, the Father met me. And I just remember seeing, picturing him in front of me, and I saw this rain start to fall on me. It's like this golden rain. And he started to speak truth to me. And what happened was, in that moment, in that place of feeling the shame, I got to meet with the Father in that place, and that's what brought the healing. All the time you hide, when I was running to my room and hiding, I wasn't able to get free because I was running away. When I waited on the stairs and met with the Father in that place, I experienced healing and got to know more about who God says I am. And got to step more fully into my identity as a daughter and got to realize more fully that I'm not a problem, but I'm a gift. That the Father loves me with an everlasting love and that he covers everything and that he breaks all the shame off me and I don't have to prove anything and I'm loved just because I'm loved. It was a beautiful encounter. But the key is the importance of coming out of hiding. You can't get free if you stay hidden. the woman had to come out of the crowd to receive her encounter and receive the truth. The same is true for us. And I feel like the Father is wanting to call many of us this morning out of hiding and bring us into a place of encounter with him so that we can know the truth about who he says we are. Second thing we can learn about the Father, a different encounter now. The Father sees our brokenness as an opportunity for breakthrough. Can I get an amen? Sees our brokenness as an opportunity for breakthrough. Let's look at the Jesus' encounter with Simon Peter. Don't you just love Simon Peter, the disciple? He had so much bravado, didn't he? He was like the disciple who was always in the thick of it, always got in a bit of a mess, but was like, I'm gonna be amazing for you, Jesus, eager to please. I mean, if you think about him, he was the one who got out of the boat to walk on water when all the other disciples were in the boat. He was the one at the transfiguration who said, Jesus, should I make tents for you and Elijah and Moses? He was the one when Jesus came to be arrested who cut off the servant's ear and Jesus had to heal this ear. I mean, Peter was all this like, there was a presence about him. He was super eager to please. But when Jesus then said to him, there's going to come a point where you're going to deny me three times and then the rooster's going to crow. He flatly denied it. That is never going to happen, Jesus. I would never do that. I'm going to be with you right till the end. But then Peter did deny Jesus, didn't he? And the rooster crowed. And Luke 22:61 says this, at that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Suddenly the Lord's word flashed through Peter's mind. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny me three times. You will deny three times that you even know me. And Peter left the courtyard weeping bitterly. Can you imagine being Peter in this situation? I think this must have completely broken Peter. I think he must have thought, well, that's it. I've messed up so bad. All the promises Jesus spoken over my life about being a rock or influencing in the church, it's just not going to happen. I have messed up. There is no coming back from this. I am a complete and utter failure. In John 21, verse 3, we actually see Peter going back to fishing. He went back to his old occupation, his old way of life. He must have just thought, this is it. I'm going to go back to what I used to do. God's promises can't be true anymore. But the truth is that the Father sees our brokenness. If you feel broken this morning, the Father sees your brokenness and your weakness and your failure, and he sees it as an opportunity. He sees it as an opportunity for restoration, for his forgiveness, for his strength flowing through you. He sees it as an opportunity for us to learn dependence on him so that we can see him moving through our lives. The Father actually pursues us in our brokenness. We see this when Jesus rose again from the dead and the women found that he wasn't in the tomb anymore. And there was an angel, and the angel said to the women in Mark 16, go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. So notice the angel said to the women, go and tell the disciples Jesus isn't here anymore. He's risen from the dead. Make sure you also tell Peter. How kind is God? Peter really needs to hear this truth. He thinks he's blown it. I want you to specifically say to Peter, it's okay. There's still hope. I see you and I know you and I've still got plans for your life. And then when Jesus appears to the disciples and has breakfast with them, he takes time to be with Peter and he asks him three times, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Every time Peter answers, I do love you, I do love you. Of course, you know I love you. And every time Jesus asks that question and Peter answers, it cancels out each of the three denials. And Peter is restored. Every time Peter says, I do love you, Jesus restores his calling. Feed my sheep. Serve my flock. It's like Jesus is after the heart and restoring Peter's heart, and then comes the calling. You know, the Father sees our brokenness very differently to us. I think he sees it as an opportunity to actually work with us. I think Peter thought he'd blown it. I think the Father thought, great, we can now work with you. Now you know your need. You know that you need me. Great, I can move through you now. I just want to finish with these couple of thoughts, and then we're going to pray. I don't know if you can relate to this, but I think sometimes we can believe the lie that we have to hold everything together and be really strong and just perform and present a certain way of being in order to be acceptable. The Father wants us to know that he's not into performance or pretending. He's a Father who loves us just the way we are. And he's inviting us out of hiding. And he says, just be you. And when we come out of hiding and we show our brokenness and our weakness to the Father, that's when he's able to rush in and bring healing and restoration and empower us to be all we're called to be. Some of us might also feel like we've failed big time, feel like we've messed up our lives, feel like we've totally blown it, that the promises and the calling over our lives don't stand anymore because we've made this huge mistake. I just want to tell you this morning that Peter shows us that the Father's response is very different to ours. It's never too late. The Father loves us and he's still got promises and plans for our lives. He wants to empower us and release us into all he's called us to be. And so I want us to take some time to pray and to encounter the Father afresh. And I don't know if this is helpful or not, but sometimes I think when it comes to ministry times, we feel like we have to make something happen. But here's the deal, the Father's the great initiator. So he's going to run to us just as we open our hearts to him. And so why don't we stand together? If you're able to stand, why don't you stand with me? There's a few things I'd love to particularly pray for, but we're going to really be led by God. And if you're online, maybe just hold your hands out and you can receive from the Father where you are. But yeah, just focus on the Father. I'm just going to read out a few things I specifically feel like God wants to do, and then we'll respond. I feel like there's some of us here that we've been hiding in the crowd because of fear or shame or pain. And you've been hiding. You can rock up on a Sunday and still really, really hide. You can be here but really be hiding. And I feel like there's some of us, because of shame in our lives or pain or fear, we've been hiding. And this morning, the Father is inviting us out of the crowd. And he's waiting so that we can come to him and he can look us in the eyes and he can come and rush in and meet with us and say, daughter, son, this is who you really are. Shame does not define you. This is who you really are. Some of us have been trying to hold everything together and to stay strong and feel like we have to perform, get things right. I feel like the Father just wants to say to you, he knows what you need. He knows what's really going on. He knows what's really going on. He knows what you're carrying. And his invitation to you this morning is to come and just give it to him and let him take it and let him meet with you. And some of us have lived under the lie or are living under the lie that we're a failure. We've messed up too bad. Kind of, we know intellectually we're forgiven, but we don't really feel that. And the Father wants to come and just speak his truth and his acceptance, his love over you. The performing and the trying really hard needs to stop. And there is freedom when we come to him in our brokenness and our shame and in our pain, because then we get to meet him in the place we really need to know him. So just as the band are playing, I actually want to invite you, if any of that resonates with you, I want to invite you to be very courageous and brave and to come down the front where I am, and we're going to take some time just to pray, and we're going to invite God to come and minister. So